Hello, and welcome to episode 29. Let's go with 29. Pretty sure it's 29.
I think it's 29.
Yeah. Of The Lair of Lore. I'm Cap.
And I'm Miriam.
And we're here talking about the Dominaria previews again. And knowing our show, that means we're mostly going to be focusing on art and trying to continue with our, I'm going to describe it as silly policy, of trying to figure out what the bloody hell the story is from just the cards. This will be the last week we're doing this. Next week we will actually be covering the story and see how...
It should be out by now. All of it should be. Or next week most of it should be.
It might be mostly out. There's usually one or two that don't come out until after the release. So no, we should at least get the beginning. We'll see what we can figure out about the story. Thus far, I don't think we've been able to figure out too much, except that it looks like the Weatherlight has been, remade? Or
raised. They've brought it.
Yeah.
It's
been recrewed. Let's go with that.
Yes. There's even a card called Board the Weatherlight.
Yeah. And for some reason, the Gatewatch is on it, and something is happening. That's the part we don't know too much about just yet. What the bloody hell is happening? Also, there's a big bad demon who is the villain. That much we've also figured out.
That's all right. There tends to be a big bad demon at most points.
Yeah, but I think this one is actually the main bad guy. And I think we had established that he's the final person holding a bit of Liliana's soul, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
So, we are going to basically be running through the cards, mostly discussing art and flavor, so I think we already know which one we want to start with, because it's the one that was spoiled about 12 hours ago now.
Go for it.
Okay, so to be clear, this is the second spoiler card that Chewie got. This is the one from the Mana Pool. We are recording this episode, just for the sake of clarity, on April 9th. Chewie basically posted his episode with the preview card about 13 hours ago. So I haven't even had time to listen to it yet, but thankfully he was gracious and posted a link to just the card. So yay.
Thanks, buddy.
So it is... Yay, I love legends. Evra, Halcyon Witness. It is a 4 generic, 2 white, 4/4 legendary creature avatar. This is not one of those piddly little uncommon legendaries. This is a rare.
Yes.
It's a 4/4 with lifelink, and for 4 generic, exchange your life total with Evra, Halcyon Witness's power. Light from the null moon took form. A mirage made real. Alone in grandeur, isolated in a world that once had been its own. Fall of the Thrawn.
Nice.
So I'll be honest, I have no idea what the hell the story for this is.
I don't either, and that's great.
I mean, I get the feeling that it has, obviously it has something to do with the Thran.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, what's the null moon? Because that's... Hang on, I'm hearing my audio coming through... Oh, I think it's whenever you're... headphones get too close to the mic, I hear myself talking.
Because they're loud enough that you can probably hear yourself through the cams.
You know you could turn that down.
I was actually at quite a comfortable level, but whatever. Try talking. Ooh, that was louder. Yeah. Go again?
It's okay. Okay, so just a quick thing of what the hell the Null Moon is. The Null Moon is one of the two satellites that orbits Dominaria. It's also called the Glimmer Moon and is originally known as the Null Sphere. Originally a Thrawn... how the hell do you pronounce this stupid word? There's no pronunciation. Of course there isn't.
Which word is this?
Thran. Thran-based, designed to control the Empire's artifact warriors, but during the Thrawn Civil War... I'm going to say it differently every time. Civil War, Yawgmoth took control of it and used it to turn the artifact creatures on their masters. Later, he tried to use it to protect Halcyon? Okay, that would be this thing.
It's the capital of the Thran Empire.
Oh, okay, so it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's suspended in the air. That's kind of cool, thanks to Power Stone technology.
So this is a thing that... and his Phyrexian forces... Okay.
Null Sphere was destroyed.
However, 9,000 years later, was thrown into orbit. The Null Moon Sorry, I'm just trying to see it. It was building up a large amount of white mana. Okay, that explains the white part. Gerard believed it could be used to slay the new godlike Yawgmoth. Gerard took the Weatherlight to the far side of the moon and had the ship punch straight through it, cracking it like an egg and channeling the released mana through the Weatherlight into Yawgmoth. This caused massive damage to Yawgmoth, but ultimately failed to kill him, and only resulted in the death of the Weatherlight's consciousness. Right, I forgot the Weatherlight was briefly alive. The Null Moon itself survived, but was left with a large hole and no longer glimmered as the white mana that caused the effect was no longer inside. So, basically, it's like a remnant of,
the Null Moon. It's almost like a sentient form of it.
Well, the moon is still there. No, this is a remnant of Thran power. So basically, the Thran didn't build it? Oh, no, yeah. So the Thran built the moon, and it was accruing white mana, and something, or, well, it got broken, and that white mana was fired at Dominaria and mostly Yawgmoth, and it just had to do something. That's cool.
Well, the thing is, Halcyon was the capital of the Thran Empire.
Yeah.
And I guess when it, so that got destroyed.
Yes, but that was destroyed a long time ago.
Yeah, in the Thran Phyrexian War.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay, so I get it. So if they made this is like one of the last things that was part of that empire, and it still exists?
No, I think that's the thing. They didn't make this. This is an accident. They made the Null Moon. The Null Moon seems to have made this somehow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And apparently, whatever this thing is, its consciousness, I guess, existed at the same time as Halcyon, mm-hmm. so it's like the last witness of it.
Yes.
Yeah, light from the Null Moon took form. Yeah, okay, so this is literally the white mana from the Null Moon that got fired at Yawgmoth took on a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's deeply strange, but okay, cool.
I wonder if they'll get to interact. The crew of the Weatherlight will interact with it.
I mean, none of the crew of the current Weatherlight have any idea what the hell that means. That was all before most of them were born. Like, this was, like, assuredly none of them were around during the Brothers' War, which is when any amount of Thran tech would have actually been, like, usable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joyra might, I think, because there's no good, clear timeline, I mean, Joyra and Teferi and the other one, Jaya Ballard, might have been, like, aware of that, but...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is probably going to be one of those things that just sort of is there for the, as like a callback to a weird past event and might not get used in the story, but it's cool. Also, it has a really weirdly niche but potentially powerful ability.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, if you play it early game then and you still have a lot of life, you can go down to 4, but it be dealing a whole bunch of damage and immediately regain that?
Pretty much.
Because, I mean, that is an an instant ability, so you could do that as it,
enters the battlefield.
No, because that would be stupid. No. Because then you could just take 4 at any time and die. You could declare it as an attacker, then activate it, and gain however much life back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems powerful, if weird. And deeply janky.
Could be fun, though.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's see. We should definitely be starting with white.
Yeah.
Did we do Lawbringer last time? I don't think we did.
I don't know if we did.
Okay, well...
I'm scrolling at the moment.
Well, I'm starting with white.
Yeah. Here, I just want to double check that I have the same one open that you do. Because the first one is Baird, Steward of Argiv, for me in white.
No, we apparently have different ones. What the hell?
Damn it.
No. I think that means you might be better, because mine is stupid.
Okay, here, do you want me to send you the one that I'm looking at?
No, you already sent it.
Oh. That's right, I did!
Why? Okay. Why the hell are there two entirely different card image galleries, and why aren't they the...
I don't know, but this is the second time this has happened.
Yeah, except last time I was the one who was ahead. Yeah, this one's correct.
Yes.
Oh, okay, this is the one that has a whole bunch of common. Does this have all the commons? Is this the complete set? No, that's not the complete set. Okay. That's still less awful.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so do
you want... We have reversed it this time.
Do you want Baird, then?
Sure.
Okay.
Baird, steward of... I'm going to pronounce this Argiv.
I think that's right. Also, no, copy image address. What the hell?
So for 2 generic and 2 white, this is a legendary creature, human soldier, with 2/4 and vigilance. Creatures can't attack you or a planeswalker you control unless their controller pays 1 for each of those creatures.
Oh, so it's a ghostly prison, I think. That sounds right. I might be making stuff up. It's a prison ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The walls of Argiv were built by a peaceful dynastic union that has guarded us against war for 15 centuries. The lesson is clear.
Is it? I don't think it is.
What lesson is that?
Don't make war, make walls? I don't know.
It's like, be like Switzerland. That's kind of what I'm reading this as, is, yes, be peaceful, but don't be an idiot.
But Switzerland isn't peaceful. They are very, very vicious if you enter their area. Their whole thing is just that they don't go to war with other people, but if you enter their area, they have a very, very ready trigger finger.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I don't think that's what they're talking about here. Like, this isn't blow up a plane that accidentally strays into Swiss airspace. This is just disconnect from everyone, is what that sounds like.
Yeah, build your ivory towers and sit in them.
Yeah, I don't know. That just seems strange.
I don't know.
Let's see. I don't think we're going to be talking about too many of the commons or uncommons, honestly.
No, I just want to call out the, armor is so...
Okay, please try that again without swearing.
The armor is absolutely gorgeous.
What armor? Because there's a whole bunch of different kinds.
So if you look in, for example, Banalish Honor Guard...
Okay, so we're just talking about the...
Caption.
Yeah, no, we're just talking about the Banalish stuff again, where they have,
Beautiful, beautiful...
Yeah, they have stained glass in everything.
We just get to see more of it.
Yes.
And it's so pretty. But yeah. Onward.
I'm trying to... Look, Daring Archaeologist is interesting, but I don't think it's really worth it for us to talk about. It's just a rare that interacts with historic stuff. It's cool. I'm going to throw it up here. I don't think we have anything to talk about for it, because...
No.
Like, the basic idea is just it's someone who is exploring all of the weird, weird ancient stuff from all of Dominaria. They have a lot of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So do you want to do Dawnbringer, or do you want me to do Dawnbringer?
I'll do Dawnbringer.
Okay.
Lyra Dawnbringer. I'm pronouncing this like His Dark Materials.
Why does this keep Lyra defaulting to... Sorry, it keeps weirdly defaulting back over to the other, the Halcyon Witness.
I don't know.
It's fixed now.
But yeah, Lyra Dawnbringer, for 3 generic and 2 white, is a 5/5 legendary creature, angel. Lyra Dawnbringer has flying, first strike, and lifelink. Other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink. You are not alone. You never were. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I think this... Nice. A lot of people have decided that this is sort of a callback to Baneslayer Angel. Because for anyone who wasn't playing back in 2010, when this would have actually come out, because it was in Magic 2011. I love model car years. Sorry, 2009, because it came out in Magic 2010 initially. For 3 generic and 2 white, it was one of the very first mythics. It was an angel. It was a 5/5 with flying, first strike, and lifelink, and protection from demons and from dragons. This was basically the turning point for when a lot of people identify creatures becoming good again. Or,
nice.
In some cases, for the first time.
I'm laughing at the angel, at the, not the angel, the unicorn next to the angel. I can't help it.
Oh, the Macy unicorn that has, like, the most magnificent,
flowing hair.
That is
beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah, Macy unicorn, for one generic and a white. It's just a 2/2 common with lifelink that just there's more hair on its mane than, like...
Probably its body.
Yeah, I mean, its tail is also insanely long. Mm-hmm. The unicorns of Surrey are a manifestation of Sarah's joy and compassion. They frolic and dance like children, offering blessings to anyone they encounter. That is a way more pleasant unicorn than any other unicorn we've seen in, like, most of Magic.
I always pictured unicorns as, like, they seem really cool, and then they'll stab you to death with their head horn.
Well, I mean, I thought we had established they were based on donkeys.
Yes.
Or goats. Sorry, goats.
Oh my god, yes. That's how I picture unicorns' temperaments. And if you've ever met a goat...
Well,
they,
no, no, like
either...
physically. The original... Yeah. The origination for unicorns is believed to be someone who fundamentally misunderstood a goat that they were looking at.
Yep. Goats are mean. They can be really mean.
Well, moving on, we've got another batch of, like, legends that we haven't talked about, so
yeah.
I don't think we talked about Shalai, Voice of Plenty.
Nope.
So for three generic and a white, this is a legendary creature, Angel, yet another one. It's a 3/4 with flying, and you, planeswalkers you control, and other creatures you control have hexproof, which seems a bit insane. Also,
low cost for that.
Yeah, also pay 4 and 2 green. Put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. That's really good.
It doesn't feel broken, but that's like...
It definitely doesn't feel broken. I doubt it will be, like, the finisher for any sort of significant deck. But it does feel a bit pushed. Like, so I think we've talked about before how they're sort of trying to push the whole idea of Brawl, which is the sort of commander variant where... It's standard with a 60-card deck, but you still do Highlander, and you can only use, like, standard legal cards.
Yeah.
I think this would be a big portion of this set seems to be pushing decent Brawl commanders, and I think she would be a very good Brawl commander, honestly.
She would be wonderful.
I'm trying to remember, because I think Voice of Plenty is a thing. Or something of plenty, but I don't remember. In Matt, I feel like there's something else related to that, but... Oh, there we go. Well, there's one. There is the Horn of Plenty, which may actually just be a random coincidence. It's an artifact for 6, generic. Whenever a player casts a spell, he or she may pay 1. If that player does, he or she draws a card at the beginning of the deck. Yeah, this is definitely just sort of like a random chance.
Did they just look like a cornucopia?
Yeah.
That's because those are also just called Horn of Plenties, depending...
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a horn of cornucopia, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I thought there was something that was a voice of something or other, but eh.
Maybe. Do you want me to take on Tashar, Ancestor's Apostle?
Yes, the weird bird thing.
Yeah, it's almost like we're back on a Amonkhet with bird things.
I mean, they were here first, but... Okay, by the way, we are definitely going to need to... You need to have your mic in front of your face. Because whenever you turn, it does weird stuff. No. Okay, Miriam. So look at my camera.
All right, hang on.
So, my mic is right here. It is centered on my face, so that no matter where I move, it's still centered. No, don't do it now. I'm saying we have to do that later.
I'll find something.
It just means that you're randomly quieter or louder and have weirdly different audio quality.
Let's try this for now. It should stay about the same.
Okay.
But like this.
But yes, I've got Teshar? Let's go with Teshar.
Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle, for 3 generic and a white. This is a legendary creature, a bird cleric that is 2/2, has flying. Whenever you cast a historic spell,
return target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. The ancestor saved us for a purpose. Okay.
I don't know what the ancestor is, and I get the feeling he might not reference it, but... I have a feeling that that's probably going to be a name that we just don't have a frame of reference for without the story. Because I don't remember off the top of my head any specifically famous Avens, but...
I think it's more of a, oh, okay, I think I got something.
Okay.
So the ancestor is a sky goddess worshipped by the nomads of the Daru Plain in Noteria.
Okay.
Noteria is...
It's
like east of Jamura,
It's on a portion that your camera is covering up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
It was the setting for one of the random sets. Okay.
Yeah. The nomads believe that the ancestor created all life on Noteria, including humans and Aven.
Weird.
Daru life... In recent time, the ancestor has been identified with Sarah.
Oh. Okay, that sort of makes sense. Weird that...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And it really only looks like there's one other... Okay, so there's a card called Aven Cloud Chaser, which is... I don't know what this set is from. I don't know the set.
Can you...
Yeah.
Hang on. Wait, I can look it up.
Yeah. Aven Cloud Chaser. It's the only other bird creature. Bird-headed Aven so
is
far.
Is it in this set?
No, it's not. This is, like, literally just...
Okay, then why did you say...
Other Aven that I could see.
There are absolute tons of Avens.
Okay. Well, then, yes. So...
Like, all the things on... Amonkhet were Avens. They just went by different names. They were also on Tarkir as well. Yeah, it's called out from only in the flavor text from Odyssey. But yeah, this was a tangent we didn't need to go off of. Honestly, though, I think that's pretty much everything in white because we've already talked about like Triumph of Gerard. And Urza's Ruinous Blast, because
yes,
you monster, Urza. Oh god, this is going to be a weird one. Okay, the next rare that I'm seeing is the Antiquities of War, which is a saga, and has a lot of text. For 3 generic and a blue, Antiquities of War is a rare saga. Okay, so... Chapter 1 and 2 are the same. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal an artifact card from among them and put that card into your hand. Put the rest onto the bottom of your library in a random order. Then, the third chapter, artifacts you control become artifact creatures with a base power and toughness 5/5 until end of turn. So basically, it's the story of the... I guess it's maybe not the Brothers' War? Is it the Antiquities War different from the Brothers' War? Hang on. Okay, so it's the same thing as the Brothers' War. Antiquities War was a comic released in 4 volumes in 1995 and 1996 by Armada, a division of Arcane Acclaim Comics. Sorry, comic told the story of the Brothers' War. The comic was penciled by Phil Hesner, inked by the Brothers' War is a revisionist retelling of these comics. Okay, the Brothers' War being the kind of definitive book on the whole thing.
Okay.
Which was the beginning of the artifact cycle. Okay. So yeah, this is literally the story of the Brothers' War, which was basically just Urza and Mishra digging up bigger and better Thran artifacts and or making their own worse... more destructive versions of them, and throwing them at each other, and kind of partially destroying Dominaria, because they're monsters like that.
Yeah.
So we did... Okay, I kind of want to give you this one, just because the art is adorable.
For Arcane Flight?
Yup.
He looks like Cal, just a little bit with a bushier tail. Arcane Flight, for 1 blue, is an enchantment... enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. The Talarian academics are academies are known for their magical research, powerful sorcerers, and accidental destruction of ecosystems.
Well, look, the cat is nature's perfect killing machine, and then you gave it wings.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that is going to destroy a lot of ecosystems.
Yeah, cute, poor little kitty. I know, it's not a poor little kitty moment, it's like a poor birdie that's gonna get its head ripped off by the kitty, but like, aww.
Okay, well I'm gonna grab the Dean of Iteration then.
Perfect.
Because, so apparently there's just like a school now that's teaching way too much magic, it seems, because there seem to be a lot of iterative issues. This is Naban, Dean of Iteration. For one generic and a blue, he's a legendary creature, human wizard. He's a 2/1. If a wizard enters the battlefield under your control, if a wizard entering the battlefield under your control causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, the ability triggers an additional time. Perfect. Now do it again. I do love that he's got, like, the background perfectly mirrored behind him, even though it looks like his hands aren't perfectly mirrored. Like, one looks like it might be a little bit higher than the other. But that everything else in the background is perfectly mirrored.
Agreed.
Like, actually, even most of his body is, except for his cloak.
Yeah.
That's just really nice. There was a dude who did something similar. No, there's not. Sorry. I'm thinking of, Riku? I want to say it's... No, it's not Riku. What's his name? Oh, it is Riku. Riku of Two Reflections. Who was the first, one of the first, he was a Temur commander that came out with the first commander set. He was a legendary creature, human wizard, who, whenever you played a spell, would let you pay one blue and a red to copy it, and whenever you played a creature, would let you pay a green and a blue to copy it.
Hmm. Okay.
Just a similar theme, and I like it.
Nice.
Okay. Would you like to take then the person who I'm assuming is basically the head of this academy?
Yes. Or I was hoping like the first that graduate? It would work out. Yeah, she's kind of awesome looking.
Yeah.
So this is Narmiha, Master Wizard. So for 2 generic and 2 blue, she is a legendary creature, human wizard for 3/3. She's got flash. When Narmiha, Master Wizard, enters the battlefield, copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. Other wizards you control get +1/+1.
Yeah, she seems pretty sweet.
I think so.
Like, one, I guess there is a very, very legitimate wizard theme, so if you're doing that, you can flash her out as a lord to get, like, a surprise bonus attack and power and toughness bonus.
Yeah.
But also just... when she comes out, like, you get to copy one spell that's on the stack? That's wonderful.
Yeah. That should be useful.
Yeah. That's really cool, actually. Do we care about precognition field? Because I honestly have no idea what on earth is even going on in this art.
It looks kind of like some sort of solar system model?
Maybe.
Vaguely, well, but with, like, orbits
I guess I mentioned it, so,
might as well.
Yeah, for 3 generic and a blue, it's a rare enchantment. You may look at the top card of your library. You may do this at any time. You may cast the top card of your library. If it's an instant or sorcery card, pay 3 to exile the top card of your library. I guess it's sort of blue card draw-ish thing without being real card draw to be less broken. What are you looking up?
Sorry, this is something for one of the one of the next couple legendary creatures.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't actually know what the precognition field is.
I think it's trying to predict the
orbit of something.
I think it's literally just someone seeing in the future. I think it's just an orrery of sorts, but it's just. I don't think it's that. Great art.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty, but it doesn't explain anything about it. So do you want to get the terrifying Leviathan monstrosity thing?
Sure. Okay. I'm going to name it Bubbles. His actual name is Slim Boda.
I was about to say, it has a name.
I know.
It's the concept of naming, like, something big and terrifying, something, a name that is completely unassuming and almost adorable.
Sure.
So Slynvoda, the Rising Deep. This is a legendary creature, a leviathan for 8/8. It's good size, so it's got Kicker. For one generic and a blue. When Slynvoda, the Rising Deep, enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, return all creatures... Oh, ho, ho. If it was kicked, return all creatures to their owner's hand, except for merfolk, krakens, leviathans, octopuses, and serpents.
Yeah, that's fair.
That, yeah.
It's basically just everything that isn't a sea creature, go away. Back. I like that fish aren't counted on that, so just fish are screwed.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not big enough to survive out here, go away.
You're not big enough or clever enough.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any significant story behind it, but that's pretty cool. I like
it. Nope, it's a big scary beastie.
Yup. Up next, then, is Tetsuo Umezawa, Fugitive. For one generic and a blue, she's a legendary creature, human rogue, 1/3. Creatures you control with power or toughness 1 can't be... Oh, that's sneaky. So basically you can have either a bunch of high toughness creatures that have relatively low attack, or you can have creatures that have a really high attack but no defense. Mm-hmm. Able to sneak through unmolested, let's say. My ancestor Toshiro used to say, life is a series of choices between bad and worse. I'm a master of making great bad choices.
Okay, so this is what I looked up. How the hell is someone from Kamigawa on...
Hang on. Before you say this, we've actually already gone over that.
Did we really?
Yes, we did.
I don't remember it.
So the end of the Kamigawa storyline involves... was his name... Toshiro Umezawa took that which was taken through the sort of... I can't remember what the name of it was because my brain defaults to Webway, but that's from 40K. Through the black aligned, oh god, what's her name? Not a Honden, the sort of gods.
Honda?
No.
Or the Kami?
No, the specific black one. There's a cycle of 5 of them. They're basically gods. They have divinity counters. They're indestructible unless they get rid of their divinity counters to do an effect. Okay, hang on. Cripes, what the hell is her stupid name? Nope. Where is she? Wait, it would probably just be faster to search for things with divinity counters, I bet. Because it's not the Hondans, because those are the... Here we go. Divinity counter. Myojin, that was it. Myojin of Night's Reach was sort of Toshiro's patron and had these sort of like portal things that he could use to get around quickly. He was warned by her to not take that which was taken into one of her portals because it would really, really hurt her and possibly permanently damage her. He had to do it to escape from Kanda with that which was taken. And once the whole story was over, she was like, hey, remember how I told you not to do that? Your punishment is I'm going to blind you and drop you on a different plane. And she dropped him on Dominaria. Tetsuo is the third generation that we know about, because there was a different Umezawa who was involved vaguely in the Weatherlight story. But I don't remember his or her name either. But they did not use blood magic, as apparently Tetsuo also does not use blood. Actually, it might have been Tetsuo. Hang on. No, because I'm missing the K in her name. Tetsuko. I think Tetsuo was a different... was the other one. Yeah, Tetsuo Umezawa was also... on Dominaria.
Hmm.
But didn't actually have anything to do. Sorry, he was in Legends, which means that he was basically someone's D&D character. Because Legends was weird. Kind of dumb. Yeah.
Hmm.
Let's not think about that. Legends was dumb. We already talked about the other rare, so unless there's any other blue cards that are jumping out at you?
Not really.
Okay. So what about then in black?
I mean, there's...
Yeah, there's the big...
There's a big saga card, and then there's a nice big legendary creature.
How about you take the legendary creature? I think we may have talked about the saga. Also, it's an uncommon saga, so... It's a reference to Chainer's Edict. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So, the legendary creature is the Demon Lord Belzenlok for 4 generic and 2 black. This is a legendary creature and Elder Demon for 6/6.
I like that he's an Elder Demon.
Yeah. Belzenlok has flying and trample. When Demon Lord Belzenlok enters the battlefield, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. Then put that card into your hand. If the card's converted mana cost is 4 or greater, repeat this process. Demon Lord Belzenlok deals 1 damage to you for each card put into your hand this way.
That seems amazing and also quite possibly very brutal.
Yeah. It seems very much like you're just building the biggest army you can?
Yeah.
Unless I misunderstood that.
Yes, you misunderstood that because it's going into your hand. And it's non-land, so it can be spells as well.
Mm-hmm.
And artifacts and things. It's basically, I think the idea here is that he's stealing knowledge? Like, what little people have informed me of the story, I think the whole thing is that basically he's trying to take credit for a whole bunch of bad things that happened in Dominaria's past. So he's trying to, like, gather up knowledge and people and basically historic important things from Dominaria's past. To, like, rewrite history. I mean, he's a demon, so I guess that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm going to do this in a weird way because I want you to get the next legend. So I am actually going to talk about this next saga because it's also kind of silly. Mostly because of the art. So the next saga is The Eldest Reborn. For 4 generic and a black... It is an uncommon saga. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or a planeswalker as chapter 1. Chapter 2, each opponent discards a card. Chapter 3, put target creature or planeswalker card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. I mean, I think this is basically... Did Nicol Bolas die? This is Nicol Bolas doing something, as is pretty much clear from Nicol Bolas at the top of the art. I don't know what exactly it is him doing, but these are all things that he has done in the past. Yeah, wait, did Nicol Bolas die at some point?
I don't know if he did.
I don't think he did, but I'm just going to make sure. Dragon War of Ascension, defeating Ugin, Time Rifts, It could be him trying to regain his, like, godlike power, but that seems weird. Yeah, I don't actually know what this is supposed to be beyond that he is gaining power somehow. Yeah, I don't actually see anything in particular of him
dying
and coming back, but...
Or maybe it's reborn from defeat?
I mean, he's basically not lost anything except for one fight with Ajani. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be able to figure out
about that.
Maybe it will make more sense if when we look at the stories. So yes, I would like you to take that next legend.
Okay, I recognize his name.
I mean, I know you recognize his last name. Do you recognize his first name?
I do, actually. Okay. This is Jossu Vess, Lich Knight.
Two generic, two black. This is a legendary creature, a zombie knight. It's got kicker and menace. When Josu Vess Lich Knight enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, create 8/2/2 black zombie knight creatures tokens with menace.
I love the 8. That's insane.
I'd like one. So someone brought him back from the dead.
Well, that we know who that someone is because it's what ignited their spark.
So this is Liliana's brother.
Yeah, so the whole thing with Liliana was that she accidentally killed her brother and then tried to revive him with black magic. Mm-hmm. So she brought him back as a zombie, then her spark ignited and she kind of ran away.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's just apparently been on Dominaria, slow, I guess, becoming... I mean, he's a knight, so clearly he serves someone else. I'm going to assume the Cabal, but who knows?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
He's a lich dedicated to Belzenlok.
I mean, that's what we're assuming, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Oh, this is also massive.
Well, okay. Also, to be clear, the Cabal is a organization that existed before, but Belzenlok seems to have either taken over or in some way, like, is now in control of the Cabal. Like, they were an organization for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But now he seems to be in control.
Pretty much.
So
that's cool.
I'm going to point out right now that there is a cool art thing with, and I can't remember the name of it, with Rite of Belzenlok, which is another saga. I can't remember, it's something from Masters 25 that got new art, I think.
It's creepy. This card is creepy looking.
Okay, good. I can sort this down to Masters 25, so hang on. I want to see if I can find the card that this is referencing. Oh, here we go. Okay. So, Rite of Belzenlok for 2 generic and 2 black. It is a rare enchantment saga. So, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 are the same. Create 2/0/1 black cleric creature tokens. So, sort of worshippers, like whatever the skull things are. Then for 3, create a 6/6 black demon creature token with flying and trample at the end of your, a 6/6 black demon creature token with flying and trample, and at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice another creature. If you can't, this creature deals 6 damage to you. It's a Lord of the Pit. You create a Lord of the Pit. It's referencing from Magic 25, which of course means it's also a much older card, Dirge of Dread for 2 generic and a black. All creatures gain fear until the end of turn. It also has it's mostly referencing the art, which is these awful, weird skull things singing. It just has a slightly different occurrence, and this is originally from, I don't remember what set that is.
It's creepy.
What is that set? Onslaught. It's originally from Onslaught. But yeah, I just wanted to point out that that is a really cool art call out, and are they by the same guy? It's very difficult to read. It is! They're by the same guy. Seb...
McKinnon.
McKinnon? Sure. That sounds
right.
It's
either McKinnon or McKinnon.
So do you want to take the weird legendary specter?
Sure. This is Orgoros, the empty one. For 4 generic and 2 black, this is a legendary creature, a specter with flying. It's also 4/3. Whenever Orgoros, the empty one, deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card at random. If the player can't, you draw a card.
Ooh, that's nice.
Hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Spectre, to be clear, specters are weird in Magic because it's a running thing now that specters are a dude-like thing on some sort of weird flying mount, and that together they are a specter. And that they usually have some sort of sabotage effect. Sabotage effects are whenever you would deal damage, some sort of effect triggers. So, I mean, it's cool. It's a Spectre. They always kind of do the same things. So this one, I think we have to include just because it's a legendary sorcery. Yeah. Also, it's like one of only two places where we've ever seen what Yawgmoth looks like. I think. Let me make sure. Because I think Yawgmoth has a couple of different, like, established ways that he looks, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he used to be human at one point, but we've only ever seen what Yawgmoth looked like after he stopped being human in two places. One is this card, the other one is, a, like, quote-unquote sort of true form that was shown in an Inquest magazine in... When was this published? It's not going to tell me, is it? It's not going to tell me. Okay. He is totally a shapeshifter, but this is sort of a quote-unquote mm-hmm. true-ish form.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Yawgmoth's Vile Offering. For 4 generic and a black, it is a legendary sorcery, which means you have to have a legendary creature or a planeswalker out on the battlefield to play it. Put up to one target creature or a planeswalker card from the graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Destroy up to one target creature or planeswalker. Exile Yawgmoth's Vile Offering. Centuries ago, a mad god offered a simple trade. I don't remember the trade he offered.
That's okay.
Okay.
Hang on. Unless we want to tangent off of it to figure out what it is.
I was going to see if I could find it quickly, but I can't, so it's okay.
Back to red? Or onward to red, I guess?
Yeah, unless, we can move on to red.
Yeah, let's see. I think we talked about First Eruption and Flame of Keld.
I know we talked about Flame of Keld. I don't think we talked about First Eruption, but I think we sort of decided, like, it's literally the first time that a Shivan volcano erupted. It's okay, we can move on.
Pretty much. We talked about Jaya Ballard.
Ooh. I don't believe we did her legendary sorcery, though, if you want to do that.
No, because that one was not there when we did this last week.
Do have to say I love the legendary sorceries.
Yes.
Like, just as a concept, I am totally on board with them. And now I'll stop talking. It's all yours.
Okay, so this is Jaya's Immolating Inferno. So for Immolating Inferno. Okay. This is a rare time when you've been able to correct me saying something.
The only reason I know this is because I played a Warlock in Vanilla WoW, and it was the second spell that you gained.
Okay, so this is Jaya's Immolating Inferno. So for X generic and 2 red, Jaya's Immolating Inferno deals X damage to each of up to 3 targets. So that's however many you pay to... get X. Centuries ago, a pyromancer's spark ignited. A fiery conflagration.
Yeah.
I don't actually know how her spark ignited.
I don't remember. Yeah. I assume by accidentally setting a whole bunch of things on fire. If I remember correctly, there was also a thing where her spark ignited, but or her spark was acknowledged, but like she didn't planeswalk or something and she was less powerful than the other planeswalkers because she wasn't like a true one or something. It was weird. Again, this was before either of our times, but I'm not 100% sure. Hang on. I'm trying to remember if this is the one that... was this the one that Chewie got as a... His other preview? Hang on. I'm trying to remember what card the Mana Pool, or not the Mana Pool, Monday Night Magic got as its preview. Fine, I will type out Monday Night Magic, you horrible monster program thing. Okay.
Yeah, I think I actually saw something about that.
Because I was just like, I'm pretty sure they got a goblin, but I knew it wasn't Squee, so what was it? Yeah, it was Siege Gang Commander, which I think is a reprint. I feel like this is a reprint. For 3 generic and 2 red, it is a creature goblin. It's a rare 2/2. Whenever Siege Gang Commander enters the battlefield, create 3 1/1 red goblin creature tokens. You can pay 1 generic and a red, sacrifice a goblin. Siege Gang Commander deals 2 damage to any target. Yeah, this is definitely a reprinted goblin, because it's amazing. Like, yeah. I just don't remember where? Hang on. No, not that, not that page. I need that one. Siege Gang Commander. Yep. Okay. What? Oh, wow. Yeah, this is an older one. So this was originally from Scourge. Then it got reprinted in 10th edition. Dual Decks Elves vs. Goblins, which totally doesn't actually count. M10 Dual Decks Anthology and Eternal Masters? Is this the one that was... I can never remember if Eternal Masters or the other Masters was the Magic Online only set. I think this was the printed set. I think Vintage was the Magic Online only set. Either way, I like... It looks cool. It looks like he's launching goblins as ammo, I think. I think that's what that is. There's something in the air, like, directly above his head. And slightly to the left. I assume that's a goblin.
It might be a goblin.
Just, like, ready...
Fire!
Well, I just, like, there's no aim. It's just there's... ready... Fire!
Fire! That seems pretty apropos for how goblins...
Yeah.
Do their thing.
So, I mean, you don't have any sort of connection with this one because it was way before your time, but do you also want to take Squee then?
Sure. I actually, because I looked up Squee because I was very curious about him. So I kind of know who Squee is.
Okay.
So this is Squee the Immortal for 1 generic and 2 reds. Squee is a legendary creature, a goblin, for 2/1. You may cast Squee the Immortal from your graveyard or from exile. You gotta be pretty smart to live as long as me, but not being able to die helps.
To be clear, I wasn't aware that Squee couldn't die. I thought it was just sort of like a running joke that he didn't die when he probably should have.
So, when I looked up Squee, he was given immortality for the express purpose that he might be killed repeatedly by Ertai, and Krovax.
Yeah, that sounds about right as well.
That's literally the only reason he's got immortality is so they can... It's like, you come back to life, I'm just gonna kill you again, sort of thing. Or I'm gonna bring you back and kill you again.
Yeah, that was the point of why they did it, but then he got saved from them, so...
He actually killed Ertai accidentally. Which is how he managed to,
And he's still got, God, what is it called? Well, I know what it's called, but I think it had something else to do with it.
Is that the thing he's cradling in what I think is Squee Goblin Nabob?
Yes, Nabob? He still has Squee's toy, which was an artifact only ever printed in Tempest, which also became part of the legacy weapon. For 1 generic, it had tap, prevent the next 1 damage that would be dealt to target creature. As the horrors closed in on Gerard, Squee trembled and clutched his toy for comfort. He didn't know where it came from or why it was so warm, but he was glad he kept it near him.
Looks like almost a marmoset.
I don't have any idea what in the blue hell Squee's toy is. I'm going to see if it shows up in the MTG wiki real quick. Nope. God, Squee's entry is so piddly.
It really is.
Like, for a dude who basically just flew around on the Weatherlight and took part in a whole bunch of stuff, he basically actually didn't do all that much.
He's essentially, it looked like he was just like a cabin hand.
Yeah.
That was about it. Like ship's boy.
Yeah.
He was the ship's boy.
Foul cooking, love of eating bugs, and manner of speaking. Yeah. And apparently he got a toy at some point, which was adorable and kept him and other people barely alive at time. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. Do you want to take on Valduk?
I was actually... Oh, we talked about Valduk, didn't we?
Did we?
I think we did.
Well,
I was actually going to grab Two-Headed Giant, because I think it's silly, and it's the most Hearthstone card I've ever seen in Magic, and I love it.
Okay.
So, Two-Headed Giant. Also very similar to the format, Two-Headed Giant. For two generic and two red, it's a creature giant warrior. It's a 4/4. I am going to say right now, this is probably a rare so that it doesn't just end up in every freaking draft pod all the time, because it would be way... It would be a combination of too good and too annoying at anything lower than rare. Whenever Two-Headed Giant attacks, flip two coins. If both coins come up heads, Two-Headed Giant gains double strike until end of turn. If both coins come up tails, Two-Headed Giant gains menace until end of turn. Like, it's good, but it's also not good. He watches the pass in both directions, and all must pay his toll. Like, there's a statistically low chance of it doing something really good. Or not statistically low, it's... that's basically what? 1 in 3 chance of it doing something beneficial? Technically? I don't want to do the math on it right now, but that's...
That's probability, and I was never good at probability.
I can't do probability on the fly, but I'm pretty sure that's relatively decent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so if you want to take Valduk, then...
Sure. This is Valduk, Keeper of the Flames. This is a legendary creature, human shaman, 2 generic and a red, for 3/2. At the beginning of combat on your turn, for each aura and equipment attached to Valduk, Keeper of the Flame, create a 3/1 red elemental creature token with trample and haste. Exile those tokens at the beginning of the next end step. The hammer strikes. The flame awakens.
I feel like we talked about him.
I don't know if we did. I don't remember doing it.
I might be getting thrown off because we talked about Flame of Keld, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't honestly seem that interesting to me, but I mean, he seems like a powerful, well, a decent card. I'm going to say decent.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's going to be weird. Up next, we have Varix Bladewing. I don't know how to describe Bladewing because they were like a family of dragons and all of them seem to either die and not stay dead or other weird stuff. Which is why I think Kerox is a card and I'm so confused by all this. So Varix Bladewing is a massive he looks way bigger in his art than his stats make him seem. For
very barrel chested.
Yeah, for 2 generic and 2 red. Also, does he have a second set of wings? Oh, right, yeah, because that was the whole thing. They had 2 sets of wings, right.
Yeah.
For 2 generic and 2 red, he's a 4/4 legendary mythic rare dragon with a kicker of 3 generic. He has flying, and when Varix Bladewing enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, create Kerox Bladewing, a legendary 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying. I mean, 7 mana for 2 4/4 red dragons with flying seems good.
Yeah.
Also, especially when only 2 of that has to be red. Yeah, that seems really good, actually.
Definitely.
But yeah, there was a whole thing with the Blade Wings. MTG Wiki Blade Wing, sure. Where is this going to show up, do you think? Because it should show up on Dominarian Dragons, I think. Except it didn't. Well, curses. Anything?
I think that's kind of all with...
Well, they sort of seem to have a story, but I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know. Okay, here we go. So it started with Rorix Bladewing, was a red-scale dragon, he was born on Shiv. After his death, he arose as an undead dragon known as Bladewing the Risen. And, yeah, okay, so I guess it's just there's a whole bunch of Bladewings, and their whole thing is just that they're 2-winged dragons. Four-winged dragons. And I guess they still come from Shiv? I would have thought that they came from a different place, but okay. I mean, Bladewing the Risen was sweet. He was a legendary creature, zombie dragon. He was a 4/4 with flying for way too much. But whenever he comes into play, you may return target dragon permanent card from your graveyard to play. Also, he could give all dragon creatures +1/+1 until end of turn. Actually, Bladewing the Risen was awesome. He was just really, really low stats for his cost.
Hmm.
And then there was Terox the Bladewing, Terox Bladewing from Future Sight, which meant that he got weird abilities. because Future Sight had this whole thing of grandeur, where legendary creatures, if you had more than one of them in your deck, would have a benefit, sort of. So, Terox Bladewing was... sorry, this is why I got confused, because there's Terox and Varix summons Kerox. So Terox Bladewing, for 2 generic and 3 red, he was a 4/3 legendary creature with flying and haste, so he could come out and hit someone immediately. He also had Grandeur. Discard another card named Terox Bladewing, and Terox Bladewing gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is its power.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Despite his despising his siblings as insults to his line, he finds and devours each in turn. It was weird.
Nice.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much red.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you want the next legend then?
Sure. So this is Grun, the Lonely King, for 4 generic and 2 green.
Really quickly, I just want to intersect. Just from that name, all I can think of now is, what was his, I think it was Grung? Hang on, let me... what was his name? He was the last troll. Thrun. Sorry, it was Thrun, the last troll from Mirrodin Besieged. He was a very powerful card in his time. I'm done interrupting now, sorry.
No worries. So, Grun, the Lonely King, for 4 generic and 2 green, is a 5/5 legendary creature, an ape warrior, with kicker, and the cost of kicker for this one is 3. If Grun the Lonely King was kicked, it enters the battlefield with 5+1/+1 counters on it. Whenever Grun attacks alone, double its power and toughness until end of turn.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
I mean,
that's...
I like that it's he has to be alone to do it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if he... It kind of sucks that he doesn't have a way to give himself trample. But, I mean, if you kick him for 7, that means you've got a 10-10. And if he attacks alone, that's 20 power, but again, he doesn't have trample, so a 1-1 can still block him, or a 0-1.
Pretty much.
Oh, well. Up next, we have got another one of these sweet legendary sorceries. Do you want this one? Because I think I've managed to read most of them.
Sure. This is Kamal's
Druidic.
Kamal's Druidic Vows. I'm having a really hard time with R's and L's today, apparently. A
little bit.
Unusually so. So for X generic and 2 green, look at the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of land and or legendary permanent cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest into your graveyard. Centuries ago, a barbarian laid his rage to rest.
Yeah, this was Kamal Pit Fighter turning into Kamal Fist of Krosa. And... I don't know if we have another Fist of Krosa. I feel like there was a thing about there being only one at a time, but it also may or may not have just sort of been dropped because it was a bit weird. I think there was another Fist of Krosa sometime in Time Spiral, but Time Spiral can't be trusted. So up next is an elf.
Oh, yes, there is. Baru, Fist of Krosa.
Yeah, but what set is he from?
Future Sight.
Okay, so he might show up here? He probably won't.
Maybe.
So we've got Marwyn, the Nurturer, for 2 generic and a green. She's a legendary creature, Elf Druid. She's a 1-1. Whenever another elf enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Marwyn, the Nurturer. And she can tap, add... an amount of green mana equal to Marwyn's power. Midwife to mothers and leader to all. I mean, I like the idea. It seems weird that she gets bigger when other elves enter the battlefield. But this is sort of like a... I don't want to say it's a fixed version, but it's a very different version of, I want to say, Elvish Archdruid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I remember correctly, that is a... It's an elf lord, so it just gives everyone... Hang on. Archdruid. Okay, good. I did get the name right. Yeah, so let me see here. Elvish Archdruid. Other elf creatures you control get +1/+1, and... Add one green for each elf you control. So this is sort of that, but one legendary, so you can't double it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess giving her the power so that she can be more aggressive in herself instead of, like, sending other elves to fight?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. I kind of like the flavor of that, that... Her thing is that she gets stronger and bigger instead of making other people have to get stronger and bigger to fight for her. Okay.
She protects them.
It also adds a bigger question about, okay, well, can I afford to tap her for this mana if she's my big bad right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, just the art's kind of like, aw, she looks so tough and ferocious, yet she's also cradling this tiny infant with one hand.
Yeah.
It's like, aw, that's kind of cute. It's got a little baby pointed ears.
So we did Steel Leaf Champion.
Do you want to do this? Do you feel like skipping the saga?
I honestly feel like skipping the saga because, well, I mean, do you want to cover it? Because the art is pretty cool.
The art is, it makes me think of very much of like the fairy books I was into as a child.
Okay.
Well,
it's all yours.
Song of Frailes for one generic and a green. Turns 1 and 2 are the same. Until your next turn, creatures you control gain tap. Add 1 mana of any color. Okay, cool. So you can bulk up. And turn 3, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance, trample, and indestructible until end of turn. Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
But yeah, I think that was... We did talk about Steel Leaf Champion.
So I don't actually want to cover Territorial Allosaurus because it's kind of meh.
Yeah.
I do want to say one dinosaur. Thing. That's not an Allosaurus. That's a Carnosaur. Like, the head ridges are a distinctive sign of a Carnosaur. Also, the way that the arms, like, curve in like that is a sign of a Carnosaur, not an Allosaurus, which had, like, more gripping hands that faced forward. Sorry, that's actually really annoying me.
It's okay. I know how you are about dinosaurs.
Well, it's also just a thing where it's... This is the one weird case where you're using a real dinosaur name, and, like...
You can't get it right?
Well, the thing is that they already have a card called, let me see... Allosaurus Rider, which is basically a dude riding... A slightly more accurate Allosaurus, but it's still way too small.
Mm-hmm.
But its hands are done properly, and it doesn't have the like, eye ridges, which are distinctly for a Carnosaur. It's, like, the one thing that marks them as different.
Okay.
I don't know, it's just weird that this is the one case where they're using a real dinosaur name.
All right.
Still, I got my vent out of the way then, so if you want to cover, or we'll basically start passing off now through the weird
there's
multicolored
a lot of
legends.
Multicolored.
Yeah, there's a lot of multicolored legends.
Okay. So, the first one is Arvad the Cursed. So for 3 generic, a white and a black, this is a legendary creature, Vampire Knight. For 3/3. He's got Death, Touch, and Lifelink. Other legendary creatures you control get a +2/+2. I won't abandon the Weatherlight. My destiny is to serve at Joyra's side. This illness means I must trust my faith more and myself less.
This is sort of a reference to a couple of different Weatherlight crew members in the past who have all become cursed with vampirism. Off the top of my head, I know Miri was cursed with vampirism. I think Krovax briefly... was a not terrible person, but he was sort of a vampire. There's also a weird timeline where Krovax wasn't a vampire. It's strange. There's a lot of weird stuff because Future Sight and Planar Chaos are strange.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on then to... I mean, he's cool. I like it. but he's pretty simple. I like that he gives legendary creatures a bonus.
Yeah, definitely.
Up next, we've got Grand Warlord Radha. For 2 generic, a red and a green. She's a legendary creature, elf warrior. She's a 3/4 with haste, and whenever one or more creatures you control attack, add that much mana in any combination of red and or green until the end of turn. You don't lose this mana as steps and phases end. My future is a gift to Keld. If I remember correctly, she already has a card as Radha, heir to Keld, but let me check. I think it's heir to Keld. Yes, from Planar Chaos, where she was a red-green legendary creature elf warrior, so pretty much the same. She was a 2/2. Whenever Radha, heir to Keld attacks, you may add 2 red to your mana pool, and you can tap her to add green to your mana pool. Run home, Kerr. I've already taken your master's head. Don't make me thrash you with it.
Aw, I like her. She's great and bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
Good for you, girl. Kick butt.
She seems to have grown up and gotten bigger now.
Yes.
Did we cover Joyra, or was her card not available last time?
I think we did talk about Joyra last time. I have a vague memory of us talking about Joyra.
I know we talked about her as a character, but I don't know if we talked about
her
as a card.
I don't think we did her card, though.
Well, if you want to cover her card, I will pull up her old card.
Sure. So this is Joyra, Weatherlight Captain. For 2 generic, a blue and a red. She is a legendary creature, a human artificer for 3/3. Whenever you cast a historic spell, draw a card. As she took the wheel of the Weatherlight for the first time in a millennium, Joyra knew she'd been right to restore the ship. Anything was possible now. Nice. So she's probably had the biggest hand in raising the Weatherlight.
Meanwhile, old Joyra was confusing. Very, very confusing. Joyra of the Gitu, for 1 generic, a blue and a red, was a legendary creature human wizard. She was a 2/2 with pay 2, exile a non-land card from your hand. Put 4 time counters on the exiled card. If that card doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend. So suspend was a mechanic from Time Spiral that when you're playing makes a hell of a lot more sense, but on paper is kind of difficult to describe. Mm-hmm. But basically it was you would usually pay a significantly decreased cost and exile a card, and then it would take an amount of turns, and then it would cast itself on your upkeep after the time counters had been removed. Mm-hmm. So basically, she can give anything suspend. It was weird, she was messing with time, it was confusing.
Okay.
And apparently she's mercifully done with that.
She also looks like she's grown up a little bit.
Yes, significantly.
Yeah. So do you want to take the next one?
Sure. This one is probably going to end up being one of the main new Wooburg commanders, because there aren't many great Wooburg commanders. And this guy has the benefit of being a playable even if you don't have Wooburg ready. So, Joda, Archmage Eternal. For 1 generic, a blue, red, and white. Legendary creature, human wizard, he has flying, and you may pay Wooburg rather than pay the mana cost for spells that you cast. He's a 4/3, I think I forgot to mention that. Chronicles Across the Ages describe Joda. They likely refer not to one mage, but to a family or an arcane title. I don't have any reference for him. Hang on, let me see. Joda was a powerful archmage during Dominaria's Dark Age and Ice Age, who was present for many of the important historical events on Tirisir during those periods. Joda was very influential during the Ice Age in developing and researching the aspects of color magic on Dominaria. He was also a major contributor to the returning of the Shard to the rest of the multiverse. Right, Dominaria was sort of like separate from the multiverse for a while. He was born several generations after the Silex Blast. And yeah, he's just like one dude who has lived for a very, very long time. Like, apparently he just got mentioned a lot as still being alive, so, like, During the Phyrexian invasion, Joda was not seen, but was mentioned to be to still being alive. He eventually returned during the events of Planar Chaos. However, somehow, probably by scrying, he discovered that Joyra would arrive at Urborg and waited for her there. Okay, yeah, so basically he's just sort of been flitting around, messing with things.
Okay.
Oh, and that apparently the events of the Mending screwed with... Well, the events that led to the Mending also screwed with him being technically a different Joda. Oh, good.
Nice. It just gets confusing.
Yeah. Let's just ignore that, then.
Okay, so the next one is Muldrotha, the Gravetide.
I am going to say really quickly, I like that they're giving us a bunch more of the Wedge commanders, because we don't have many of those since they broke Tarkir.
Yeah.
This one is pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, so for three generic, a black, a green, and a blue, this is a legendary creature, an elemental avatar for 6/6. During each of your turns, you may play up to one permanent card of each permanent type from your graveyard. My child grew from rot and ruin, yet she bloomed.
Oh, right. This is by Multani, who got spoiled today, so we're not actually talking about him. The avatar of Yavimaya, I want to say. Basically, he's a tree spirit.
And like an elm... No, I will not look it up. I will not look it up because we're gonna. This will be another time.
Yeah, he's a tree spirit.
Cool.
Up next, I think this may have been there, but we didn't talk about it.
We talked about Teferi, but I don't think we talked about Oath of Teferi because I don't.
I think this may have been a card that was revealed but wasn't in the image gallery at the time.
Yes.
So apparently, Teferi is joining the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
For three generic, a white and a blue, whenever Oath of Teferi enters the battlefield, exile another target permanent you control. Return it to the beginning, or return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. You may activate loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control twice each turn rather than only once. For the lost and forgotten, I will keep watch. So I guess they are going to try and gather up Teferi into the Gatewatch, since he's been hanging out on Dominaria and they're trying to deal with, for some reason, I've forgotten his name. The big black demon that starts with a B?
Belzenlok.
Belzenlok, yes. Sorry, that N placement is going to screw me up constantly.
We can just call him Big Bad B, or B for short.
No, I actually like his name. I'm just going to be screwing up the pronunciation a lot, I think.
Got it.
But yeah, that's pretty sweet. Do you want then this, legendary, this other legendary sorcery that also, again, looks really sweet?
So this is the Primeval Primeval's? Primeval's Glorious Rebirth. For five generic, white and a black. Wow, I'm having a really hard time reading today, apparently. And I'm actually usually quite good at it. This is a legendary sorcery. Return all legendary permanent cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Centuries ago, five dragons conquered death to rule the living.
I believe this is referencing the Elder Dragons. So
I think it is as well.
Nicol Bolas and his four siblings, which are largely unremembered because they weren't actually that great cards.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember any of them off the top of my head. I'm going to warn you right now that... it looks as though an Amazon driver is supposed to be arriving at my door soon. I'm going to catch him today, so I might have to run away to do a thing.
That's okay. We're so close to the end, I will just forge on if I have to.
Okay.
Okay.
So how many of these did we talk about? I don't think we talked about any of them. Okay, so I know we talked about Shauna Sisse's legacy.
That's it. We skipped really over Slimefoot the Stowaway.
Did we? I don't think we did, because I would have talked about that. That's silly.
I think Shauna Sisse's legacy was the only one that was there last week when we looked.
And I know looking down at the... God, there's so many things. Because there's still some lands that at least the flavor text I want to talk about.
There were only like a handful of lands last week, too.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be leaving most of the artifacts alone, except for, well, we have to talk about the Weatherlight. We just have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so up next I've got Raf capuchin, right.
Another capuchin.
Yep.
They're like bunnies, it feels like.
Apparently. He's a legendary creature. 3/3 human wizard for 2 generic, a white and a blue. He has flash and flying. He's white and blue. Of course he has flash and flying. Whenever you cast historic spells, you may cast historic spells as though they had flash. So artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are all historic. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's simple, but I think it's cool. It's really weird that it feels like they're trying to basically just do, you can build a really weird, goofy, powerful, admittedly kind of janky, just historic deck out of stuff from this set, and I like it. I don't think it would be good and competitive, but I think it might be like a good Commander or Brawl thing.
Okay, let's see. Next up is Rona, Disciple of Jix. Gix? Jix?
I don't know.
I don't know. For a generic, a blue and a black, this is a legendary creature, a human artificer, for 2/2. When Rona, Disciple of Jix, enters the battlefield, you may exile target historic card from your graveyard. You may cast non-land cards exiled with Rona. So for 4, and then if you pay 4
and
tap, exile the top card of your library.
So basically, she lets you exile stuff and still be able to use it, so I guess your opponents can't interact with it?
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to pay the normal cost, so you also can't play it at weird times, but it's not bad, I guess. It's just sort of strange.
Okay, so I looked up who Jix is real quick. He's a Phyrexian Praetor.
No, she's not his, then. That's spelled with a J, isn't it?
No, it's spelled G-I-X. When I looked him up in,
Oh, okay, sorry, I'm thinking...
From Vanguard.
Sorry, so I'm thinking of, oh god, what's his name? Sorry, I forgot they used the title Praetor there, too.
Yeah.
Hang on. Who am... What's his name? I think his name is... Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking of Jin Gitaxias.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is the blue Praetor from New Phyrexia. Okay, that makes an amount of sense then.
Yes.
Then
that would also explain the Cyclops Eye.
Yeah, and the she's an artifact creature.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, not an artifact creature. Artificer.
Artificer.
Sorry. Yeah. Up next, the one who I like because he's silly, Slimefoot the Stowaway. For 1 generic, black and a green, he's a legendary creature, fungus. He's a jobless fungus. He's a 2/3. Whenever a sapling creature you control dies, Slimefoot the Stowaway deals 1 damage to each opponent, and you gain 1 life. You can also pay 4 to create a 1/1 green sapling creature token. As Joyra restored the Weatherlight, a mushroom growing in the hold unexpectedly became her first crew member.
That's so
silly.
He's
a stowaway, so I kind of doubt that he's a really useful crew member. I get the feeling that it's probably just like, we can't get rid of him, so we're just sort of dealing with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Tatiova, the Benthic Druid, is the next one. So for 3 generic, a green and a blue, this is a legendary creature, Merfolk Druid for 3/3. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
That seems powerful. Okay.
Yeah. Yavimaya is one being, one vastness of rippling leaves, one deepness of roots, and one chatter of animals, of which I am one part.
Okay.
Sounds very druidic.
Very weird question. Are you, like, bouncing your legs or something?
No, it's literally if I lean...
Okay.
The table is such that if I even just, like, lean on it...
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, hallucinating or something.
No, it vibrates, and I'm trying not to move too much, but even if I just shift...
Okay.
Or even the motion of me moving my mouse can cause it to wiggle.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't,
like,
seeing things.
No, you're not crazy. There's going to be subtle vibrations happening.
Okay. So, up next, we've got Teferi, the hero of Dominaria. For 3 generic,
he looks like a badass.
Yeah. For 3 generic, a white and a blue, he is a legendary planeswalker, Teferi. Sorry, the legendary part is going to throw me off for a while now, I think. He comes in with 4 loyalty. You can pay one or gain one loyalty to draw a card at the beginning of the next end step, untap two lands. That seems really good. Just basically play him immediately, draw a card at the end of this turn. If it was an instant, now I've got two extra mana up to use it.
Yes.
I also like that at the beginning of the next end step, so you can you can wait to see what lands you want to untap in the same way that you could also, like, tap lands I just like the fact that you can see it coming.
Yes.
Yeah. -3, put target non-land permanent into its owner's library, third from the top. That's weirdly specific. I guess because if it's... In theory, you could just keep doing that, so you can basically do -3, then you have three turns to build up his loyalty again and do it again?
Mm-hmm.
If that's one card that you just really want to get rid of for some reason?
Yes.
I mean, it's not bad, it's just very specific.
Yeah.
And non-standard, I guess, is why it's extra weird. And then -8, you get an emblem with, whenever you draw a card, exile target permanent and opponent controls.
Nice.
Yeah, that seems like a really powerful emblem.
It is.
When he can just cause card draw on his own.
Pretty much.
So here's the thing. I think you should take the other Planeswalker so that I don't get both of them.
Fair. Kay. Then do you want to just...
I was going to have you do the Planeswalker first.
Okay. The other Planeswalker that we have is Karn, Scion of Urza. This is the legendary... Oh, for four.
Yeah.
Four generic. This is the legendary Planeswalker Karn, and he comes to the table with five loyalty points. To gain one, reveal the top two cards of your library. An opponent chooses one of them. Put that card into your hand and exile the other with a silver counter on it. To lose a loyalty point, put a card you own with a silver counter on it from exile into your hand.
Okay.
To lose two, create a 0/0/0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control.
So at the very least, it's a 1/1.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, this is very, very weird.
Like, very.
I mean, to be fair, the last Karn we saw was insanely busted and was literally Karn remaking a world. Huh. I'm not sure how to feel about this. Because
he seems very usable.
My concern is that this is functionally him turning more and more things into artifacts, and that seems bad.
Hmm.
So I am concerned. But
yeah.
I guess we'll have to see.
Do you want to take that last legendary creature?
Yeah, the last legend, yeah. So up next, this one I have seen a little bit of story about. This is Tiana, Ship's Caretaker, for three generic, a red and a white. Legendary creature, Angel Artificer. She's a 3/3 uncommon with flying and first strike. Whenever an aura or equipment you control is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, you may return that card to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. Nothing is too broken to mend. Apparently, she's a Saren Angel, and they see the Weatherlight as some sort of, like, holy relic of Sarah.
Hmm.
So that's why she's, like, working on the Weatherlight, from what I was, like, saw through a random picture and explanation that showed up on Twitter one day.
So, this is kind of random, but I feel like it'd be really awkward to work in an engine room with wings.
I think that's probably the point, but
yeah.
It's probably a magic engine room, so I guess it's fine.
I guess so.
So the only two, there's like three artifacts that we should probably talk about. One I'm going to run through real quick because it basically won't take very much time. There's a new Lotus. Actually, it's not new. I believe it's already was printed in one of the futures or Time Spiral sets, but it's Gilded Lotus. It's a Lotus. It usually bears calling out. Five generic artifact. It's rare. Tapped, add three mana of any one color to your mana pool. The perfection of the Lotus reminds me of my hopes for this world and my failures. I will not rest until I've atoned for them. Karn. Do you want to similarly try and run through the Mox Amber real quick?
Sure. Okay. So the Mox Amber has no cost. So to tap it, add one mana of any color among legendary creatures and planeswalkers you control. A moment in time made tangible. It has the power to realize epic visions.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a mox. Functionally, moxes are zero-cost items that in some way let you gain mana. The original moxen were part of the original Power 9. Each of them cost nothing and could be tapped to create one of any color of mana. Then they later did stuff like Mox Opal that could tap for any colored mana, but you need to have Metalcraft. This is another variant on that. It'll probably end up being quite powerful. I mean, admittedly, you have to be playing Legendaries and Planeswalkers, but given this set's focus on a lot of that, it should be fine.
Yes.
Given that, here's another legendary permanent. We've got the Weatherlight for 4. It is a legendary artifact vehicle. I do like that they made it a vehicle. This is a design space that I'm glad they keep using. It's a 4-5 with a crew of 3, and when it is a vehicle, it has flying. Whenever Weatherlight deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal a historic card from among them and put it into your hand, put the rest onto the bottom of your library in a random order. I like it. It's nice and simple.
Mm-hmm.
It also doesn't, like, destroy cards, or make you discard cards, like some of the other ones did. It seems simple and nice, and I like it.
Very much so.
Yeah. Very straightforward.
Okay, so we're on to the lands. I haven't looked at them yet.
So mostly I just wanted to go over the dual lands have the flavor text.
Flavor text.
So that's pretty much what I was looking for.
Okay.
Cabal Stronghold also has flavor text, but it's basically just, hey, the Cabal are a thing. And Belzenlock is in charge of them.
Yep.
So do you want to do Clifftop Retreat first?
Sure.
So to be clear, hang on, really quickly, sorry. To be clear, these are the enemy-colored buddy lands that we first saw in Innistrad, just with new art and flavor text.
Okay. Clifftop Retreat. Clifftop Retreat enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a mountain or plains. To tap, add a red or white. The sunlight falls pristine on the temple at Epitir, softened by the remembered shadows of angelic sages' wings.
Up next, we have Hinterland Harbor. Same thing, if you control a forest or an island, it comes into play untapped. You can tap it to add a green or a blue to your mana pool. Our ancestors brought down a Phyrexian portal ship, then built our town on its hull. We're pretty proud of that. Aline of Riverspan.
Nice. Okay. Isolated Chapel. Isolated Chapel enters the battlefield tapped, unless you control a plains or swamp. Tap, add a white or a black. Sarah's blessing lies strongest upon Circe, where her holy chapels are untouched, even as the Cabal encroaches.
Which is why it's part black. Then, second to last, is Sulphur Falls. Again, comes into play untapped if you control an island or a mountain, and can tap for a blue or a red. We have inherited the mysteries of the Thran, but few of the answers. From Joyra. Always nice to get a good Joyra run. And I feel like it's very appropriate that you get this last one.
Oh my god, yes it is. Woodland Cemetery. Woodland Cemetery enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a swamp or a forest. To tap, when you tap, add a black or a green. They never found the body of young Josu, or that of his murderous sister. The fall of the House of Vess.
I like that apparently the house also fell after them.
Yeah.
Like, their parents
they don't have any scions.
And apparently their parents just, like, went straight downhill after that.
Pretty much. I feel like it would be one of those, like, spirals of misfortune and
doom. That was sort of my reading on it, too.
We actually talked about Zalfirin Void.
Yeah, we talked about the Zalfirin Void last time. Because it has the nice,
Teferi.
Yeah, Teferi. Flavor text on it.
Yes.
I think with that, we are about ready to head out, because I have to do a Pokemon stream in like an hour, so.
Yes!
Yeah, and we have a post-stream
We both had a slow start getting
just a bit. And like I said, we've got a post show to also do. So, hey.
Yes.
If you enjoy what we do, please consider checking us out on Twitter or Facebook, both of which are going to be Twitter and or slash Facebook.com/LairofLore. You can also find us on our website at LairofLore.com or streaming live on Twitch almost every day at Twitch.tv/LairofLore. You can also find VODs and the video version of this podcast, if you want to watch that, at youtube.com/LairofLore. And if you really, really enjoy what we do, you can support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/LairofLore.
Notice the pattern?
Yeah, where we've got reward tiers ranging from just $1 to get access to some random Patreon-only stuff along with the Derpy Puppy Feed, which also now includes a cat. Basically, it's my dogs and cat being idiots. We take pictures and videos for you. All the way up to the level where we will send you alcohol and candy and food once a month. That is the gourmand of the lair. We have many, many mm-hmm. tiers in between, including tiers that can get you a chance to play D&D with your fellow patrons in a unique way, I'm going to say. You will actually all be able to choose whether or not we get to stream it or just record videos of it for patrons. Either way, there's a whole bunch of extra content, including mm-hmm. stuff like the Extra Bits, which is our pre- and post-show, where this week I yelled about WrestleMania.
And I listened.
And hopefully we'll have something else in the post-show after this, which is yeah. mostly going to be a little bit of me going and explaining why I'm running through this so quickly. Anyway, thank you all very much for tuning in. Please check out some of those other places to like and support us, or even just check out the stream, because every viewer really helps a heck of a lot, and maybe you'll find something you like. We stream a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Miriam, do you have anything to throw in?
No, not really. I mean, come try and look at us every single day. There's always something different.
Yes. Anyway, thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow with
Bye.
Something. Bye.